Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast Show number 127.
Welcome, everyone.
You can hear by the massive amount of voices that this is the least populated podcast of all time. There are two of us.
There are just two of us,
which some might say is poor form, although, to be fair, at least three of the other pubcasters are either not in work or are working throughout lunchtime. A couple of others, lazy bastards, but we'll move on from that.
They've let the team down, basically.
They have, but
they have let the team down. But we've got plenty to talk about.
We do, indeed.
Can I start on this?
Well, I've got one.
Link, Michael?
Timmy Bevan, friend of the show, is pointing out that Luis Figo earned 127 caps. I'm not sure if he knew that off the top of his head, but excellent knowledge if he did.
Well, well done.
But
yeah.
Luis Figo, legend. And can I start?
Go on, then.
I think I speak for everyone from the podcast by saying a massive congratulations to Mansfield Town on winning the football conference this week.
Well done, Mansfield.
What else did you think I was going for there?
I don't know, actually.
Fucking 20 times. 127 is also, if you take 107 away from that, it's the amount of times Manchester United won the title, and I'm very happy. But we won't go on about that.
I'll tell you what. It's obviously a big thing that's happening this week. And I think, you know, I'm completely neutral in the Premiership, but United have definitely been the most consistent team in inconsistent league.
They've been the best team. They've not necessarily had the best players, but I think we have been
the most consistent
team. Yeah,
literally. Which is, I mean, the Premier League this season has been completely run, you know, completely governed by inconsistent teams who do have decent squads.
What a thunder bastard from Van Persie!
I can't think of a better striker this season.
That's the thing. Every week there seems to be a new goal of the season. It's amazing.
I just love the excuse to be able to use the word thunder bastard.
I know, yeah. It's great. Keep them coming, Premier League. Please.
Premier League, please.
Did you see Patrice Evra celebrating with a prosthetic arm, which we will go on to more later? And also the fact that the players, I think it was the last ones awake, were Danny Welbeck, Phil Jones, Tom Cleverley, Shinji Kagawa and Chris Smalling. Yeah, we're out till casino till 7 in the morning. Fair play to him. But what were you going to talk about, Andy?
Well, I want to talk about violence.
Violence. Violence. Fighting.
There's a dark underlying current of violence.
Well,
creeping back into the beautiful game which we love.
I assume you're talking about Kidderminster Stockport, which
actually, that was the first thing I was going to talk about.
Obviously, we've just mentioned Mansfield won the conference. Kidderminster finished second in the end. Stockport
have been relegated.
For some reason, Kidderminster and Stockport were playing in the evening.
Yeah,
which I don't quite understand, but Stockport were down by that point and Kidderminster couldn't win the league by that point.
No.
Kidderminster went ahead 1-0, and I'll let you take it away, Andy.
Well, from what it sounds like, basically the Stockport fans led a massive pitch invasion and one of the players for Kidderminster got punched in the face.
Yeah, so, Lee Vaughan was it.
Apparently the scumbag who ran on and assaulted a professional footballer has been arrested.
He's a very brave man to run on the pitch and attack someone, isn't he?
Do you know, well, what a brave man. I wonder if he did it from behind. Who knows?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
but the worst thing about this all is apparently there were no police at the ground.
Yeah,
well, there was one steward apparently.
It's now, Ollie Holt wrote about it in the Mirror this morning.
Our very own
Emily Bishop's son. Emily Bishop's son. If you watch Coronation Street, Emily Bishop, her son is Ollie Holt. True story.
But Ollie Holt went to the game and he took his daughter to the game. And by all sounds of things, yeah, there was one steward at the match. Stockport had taken their full allocation of fans to the game. And it was always going to be billed as a pretty feisty game anyway.
Yeah, there was potentially a lot riding on. In the end, it was a bit of a nothing match. But
the match is going to be remembered for a complete and utter moron and a bunch of fans. And, it's not representative of all the Stockport
fans. Unfortunately, it's always the idiot minority, isn't it, who do this. But it's crazy to think that Stockport are now, in the sixth tier of English football next season.
Yeah.
It wasn't long ago that they were in Division 1 or the championship.
The club's being run so badly. Now, apparently, before the game, Kidderminster said to the chairman or the club's directors of Stockport that they weren't allowed to go to the game because it would have made it would have constituted a public safety hazard because they are that unpopular with the Stockport fans. If any Stockport fans are listening, you know, we'd love to hear what you've got to say about how your club's been run recently.
It's a terrible shame because I grew up near Stockport and travelling through the town, and they are one of those clubs that do manage to garner quite a bit of support in Greater Manchester. Bear in mind, you've got two massive clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Even more if you count the likes of Bolton or Wigan, top flight clubs in Greater Manchester, you still get a lot of people going to Stockport. Like I said, they were in the equivalent of the Championship, I think only about 10 years ago. I think it was 2002 they went down. I mean, I know other clubs have dropped, like Luton and Southend and Bradford, but
you'd hope that a club like them will find their way back up the leagues again.
They're a big enough club. The problem for them is that they have United and City on the doorstep, and are kids now going to go and support a team in the Blue Square North when they can go, even if their dad does, they can go to Old Trafford or City, or I mean, potentially next season they're going to be playing in the same league as FC United and Manchester,
who have gone up.
Well, no, they're in the playoffs.
Oh, right.
They're going to be in the playoffs.
Do you know who they're playing?
I'm not sure yet. The season hasn't finished. They won last night. They won, let's see, they won 3-0 against Ashton.
Great result.
Like local derby. But yeah, when you've got clubs like that on your doorstep as well, who are very popular and are almost fashionable,
I think it's becoming ever more fashionable to start supporting your local team again.
Well,
and I
think it's important that people do.
How much fun it can be going to, a lower league professional club or a non-league.
Well, I can imagine it's going to be tremendous fun this weekend at Brentford because if you haven't seen League One, Bournemouth have gone up by virtue that on the last day, second place Doncaster travelled to third place Brentford.
That's right, Coxon, that's right.
Unbelievable.
It is going to be a pretty amazing day. We sold tickets out literally at the end of Saturday afternoon.
That's great as well, because when you look at it, they are three relative minnows in that league. When you compare it to Sheffield United, Coventry, Portsmouth,
Swindon,
Preston,
Oldham,
former Premier League. Tranmere, big following, MK Dons, unfortunately not a real club, but I mean, it is great to have those three clubs at the top.
Absolutely, and it's winner takes all, isn't it, on Saturday, and for me personally, I'm glad that we've got to set up and go and get a win. I'm glad, in a way, that we didn't get more than a point at the weekend against Hartlepool, because setting up when you know that a draw is all you need to actually, get second place, I'm not necessarily sure that
I think
that's a great mindset to take into a game.
The unfortunate thing is now it's pretty much impossible for you to win League One.
Well, we can't. We're not
going to win. Unless Bournemouth lose and somehow the goal difference gets turned around.
I think we need to win by seven goals.
Yeah, there's a big swing. But to be honest,
we're going to remain confident. We're going to go out there and we've got to set up a team to go and beat Doncaster.
If you get promoted, do you give a fuck about winning League One?
Absolutely fucking not. And actually, to be fair to any of the teams who have actually sat in top spot in our league, the highest we've been all season is second spot.
Yeah.
So I can't say that we deserve to win the league.
But
anyway, look, moving on away from Brentford, because we talk about them a lot, I want to go back to violence.
Violence, oh bloody hell.
I'd like...
Welcome to the Fighting Pubcast.
Who would like to see Brian Moore and Robbie Fowler have a
fight? Oh, I would. I'd love it, especially if Robbie Fowler had both his arms tied behind his back and Brian Moore had a big baseball bat.
To be fair, I don't think we'd need to help Brian Moore out too much. Going
to
ask you who you think would win in a fight.
I hate Brian Moore. I think he's an arsehole. I just don't like Robbie Fowler.
Why don't you like Robbie Fowler, Mike?
He's a homophobic prick.
Oh.
And he's apologised to someone a lot, but he plays the cheeky chappy. Robbie.
Should we talk about how this has come about?
Yeah, we should, really.
Brian Moore became involved in a bizarre Twitter bust-up with Robbie Fowler. And I don't actually know why they got so angry with each other, but it ended and resulted in Brian Moore offering Robbie Fowler out for 10 rounds.
Well,
it's
I believe
Liam Gallagher, Robbie Williams
one of them's called Robbie. But
absolutely.
I think it stemmed from the whole Luis Suarez incident, which I guess there's no better time
to
talk
about. From.
What are your thoughts on Luis Suarez?
Where do you start? And actually, I feel so sorry for anyone involved in Liverpool Football Club, because you've got a truly world-class striker playing for your club, and you can't trust him to behave appropriately on the football pitch. How can you trust a man? It's absolutely unexcusable to go around biting people. It's unexcusable to go around being racist to black footballers on the football pitch. It's inexcusable to run around a football pitch diving everywhere. The guy, controversy just follows a man everywhere he goes.
I mean, he adds to the Premier League and he gets people talking.
Look at the equaliser he scored at the weekend.
Well, that's it. He gave a penalty away for a blatant handball.
Played a fantastic ball through for Sturridge.
He played a fantastic ball for Sturridge. He scored the equaliser in the last minute and he bit someone. I mean, that's value for money, isn't it? I will say this, and I'm not one to...
Kenny Dalglish probably, lost his job for supporting Suarez through everything that happened with Patrick Sheffield.
I can imagine if someone went and shot Kenny Dalglish now, he'd be rolling in his grave. But one thing I will say, Suarez is getting a lot of stick for this bite. Jamie Carragher's come out today and said it was wrong and he needs help, but if I was given the choice between a little bite and having my leg broken again, I would choose a little bite. And I think a lot of this is
coming. Yeah, but a bite is assault.
Well, it's all assault.
It is assault.
Is it worse than Sergio Aguero clearly going in without an attempt to win the ball?
Depends how you view it.
The connotations. I mean, we've seen Roy Keane and Paul Scholes throw punches at United before. You've seen Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer have a fight on the pitch. It isn't viewed as negatively because bites, on one hand, seem more contrived in that you're planning to, on the other hand, seem more feral in that you're just reacting wildly. But either way, it looks a lot worse. He didn't do much damage to Ivanovic. It was wrong. It was violent conduct. He should get a 3-4 match ban, especially given his previous. But
I blame TV. I think he's been watching too much Vampire Slaying.
Yeah, God, yeah, Buffy.
But I mean, all right, away from the bite itself, how do you judge what sort of a ban the guy gets? He's come out and
that's
admitted
the difficulty.
That he's guilty.
Well, the one that everyone's spoken about.
So everyone's saying that he should get a 2-match ban, which is what normally happens for violent conduct.
A 3-match ban.
3-match ban.
Yeah.
Sorry. However, it's more than that, isn't it? And I'm interested to see how the FA react to it.
Well, everyone's speaking.
I don't witch hunt on players who tend to get a little bit more bad press than they probably deserve. But at the end of the day, it is a bit of a strange incident.
I mean, there's a couple of issues. Everyone's talking about the fact that Jermaine Defoe bit Mascherano back in, I think, 2006. When he was at West Ham. But he got a booking, so therefore got away with it.
He did get away with it,
Obviously, what ref thinks, he's bit him. Oh, that's only a booking. But one thing I liked is all the European press is talking about how he's bitten him and how it's violent conduct, how he's out of control. In South America, they're talking about the fact that he's disobeyed the 11th commandment of getting caught. It is a different world, and he is raised in a different culture where it's always been said South American footballers, certainly from countries Uruguay, Argentina, Peru, Chile.
I've never heard of biting being accepted.
No, but it's get any advantage you can. I mean, even you hear about in Italy, people like Gentile.
They call it streetwise football.
Yeah,
don't they
street football. Gentile for Italy used to pluck his opponent's armpit hair in order to get an advantage.
That's
it
actually
hurt. Exactly.
He's actually doing someone a favour.
I mean, it's one step up from pulling shirts, but it'd be very interesting. Has he played his last game for Liverpool?
No. Anyone who thinks that he's going to be moved on for an incident like this...
I don't think he'll be moved on for this incident, but I think he won't play again this season. So Van Persie's got the golden boot. But will Bayern Munich or Barcelona or Paris Saint-Germain come in for him?
No.
I could see PSG. If they don't get Rooney...
I just don't see how you can... I mean, you're talking about £30 million to buy Luis Suarez at the moment, before all of this happened. But you're not going to invest that sort of money in someone who could be facing lengthy bans every single season.
Well, it's arguable whether he could be, because obviously you've got to control him. I mean, the incidents he's had, they have been consistent, unfortunately, but you would hope
consistently
someone...
bad.
I mean, you've only got to look at Eric Cantona. He... in 93-94 was suspended for something like 8 of United's games,
few
red cards. Then the next season there was the Kung Fu kick, but then the two seasons after that rarely missed a game, barely got booked. So it's just getting control of these players.
There's no way Liverpool are going to look to sell him, and I can't
not for this reason. But if someone comes in with 40 million,
well, maybe they'll say yes to it.
Maybe.
But at the end of the day, he's been their best player by a massive degree this season. Why would they look to offload someone who's been that good for them? And he has been breathtaking certain parts of the season. The goal he scored against Newcastle when he brought the ball down and rallied the keeper. I mean, that is pure world-class talent, and we do enjoy watching that week in, week out, and we have seen it week in, week out from him. So.
Well, two of the clubs I mentioned that are interested, reportedly, in Suarez, Bayern Munich and Barcelona. Fucking hell, who saw that coming?
4-0. And a lot of controversy in that match as well.
I believe that is the crown almost being passed on in terms of who people think are the strongest side in Europe. Whether Bayern Munich go on and win it...
Munich on course now for a third final in 4 years?
I'll tell you something, I'd put a fiver on Barcelona getting through, though.
They did it against Milan. This is a much bigger step up. Yeah. Bayern Munich are not AC Milan.
They're ruthless.
Bayern Munich are... They are a giant as well.
Very interesting. I saw on Football 365 someone who wrote in, an Arsenal fan, who said Bayern Munich are what Manchester United should be. And I think United are, to an extent, on a domestic level, but they are what they should be in Europe. Ruthless.
A much stronger team than the player.
Well, that's what they're saying. But with the finances United have, they should have been like that, because United play a very ruthless, counter-attacking, fast, direct style of football.
Absolutely.
Bayern Munich have taken that to a whole other level.
But they've got
that is what United need to catch up with in Europe next season.
Well, the thing about Munich is that they're so lethal from the flanks. You know,
exactly.
When you've got Robin, Ribery, Müller seems to play very
well there. I mean, you look at it.
United don't have that class of winger.
Valencia, Nani, Young, who are good. Kagawa isn't.
Who would you
prefer? But they're not as good. That's the thing.
And they've signed Goetze now.
Where's he going to fit into that team?
I think he'll fit in just fine, because he can play up top as well.
I'm sure he'll fit into that team very well, but it's scary.
Gutted for Dortmund on the eve of the biggest game since they were in the final 15 years ago, however long it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely gutted for Dortmund. To know that one of your prized assets is already signed for the enemy before the season.
Imagine if they're playing in the final.
If they're playing in the final,
I mean,
just makes it an even bigger occasion for Mario Götze,
it's catch 22 for Götze, because if he plays amazingly and wins it for Dortmund, the Munich fans will probably hate him. If he plays poorly, everyone's going to say he sold out. I mean, it's a difficult situation. But the point I made to you actually yesterday when we were having a conversation is I thought that
we talk about football when we're not doing the
podcast? We do, yeah. I mean, well, apart from when we're talking about ballet and...
hopefully our employers aren't listening.
Carpentry. But the point I made to you was that I felt that depending on which combination got to the final, any of those four...
That's very true.
Could win. But I also said last week that I thought Bayern Munich would win it, so I'm quite happy to stick by that rather.
I'm still going to back Dortmund.
I'd love an all-German final in the competition still. Well, Jeff Waddell, one of our listeners, as I asked a few people what they thought we should talk about this week, and he said the Bundesliga being by far the best league in the world. Now, one thing I will say is I think it's the most even in terms of quality. Obviously, Bayern Munich
it's
are a
stronger
level apart.
Over the years, isn't it? Werder Bremen.
It's very strong. Werder Bremen. Schalke got to the semi-final the other
year.
Bayer Leverkusen are going to qualify next season, probably. Yep. Hamburg have a lot of money. Wolfsburg have done well in recent years. There are a lot of teams
out there. Wolfsburg, yeah.
I still would say
they have a lot of good, strong Brazilian players.
They do have a lot to go over. I would still say, in terms of having the most teams that can perform well in the Champions League, England is still the best league. Because you could foreseeably see United, City...
Loads of Premiership teams who have done well in the Champions League.
Not this season as such. But you could still foreseeably see, on any given season, United, City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, arguably Liverpool, if they get their act together, performing strongly on the top stage.
Absolutely.
Everton, there or thereabouts. But you wouldn't think they would get far. you look at the other leagues, Spain, Malaga have done very well this season, Valencia have done well, but they don't have that class that you think they could win it.
Well, I think Atletico Madrid fall into that.
Madrid as well, yeah.
You know, if you're talking about teams like Liverpool and Tottenham, then I think Atletico Madrid have to be talked about. Valencia,
as I said, they've done all right.
Champions League football this season.
But you wouldn't think, if it got to the last eight, you would fancy playing those. You wouldn't necessarily fancy playing United, City, Arsenal or Chelsea.
No.
Because they're big sides that can do damage, unless it's this season. And to be fair, had we got to the last four, I'm sure we could have done as well as Real Madrid. The bastards.
It's done you a favour not getting to the last
four.
Your league form a lot stronger, and it's made Ferguson realise that he's seriously got to strengthen your team. I mean,
It has.
He's going to have a bit of a clear out, isn't
he? Allegedly. I think two players will definitely go, which are Nani and Anderson. But I don't think there'll be as much upheaval as people
predict. Has Evra not played his last game now?
No, not at all.
Leighton Baines.
Evra's done well this season. I think Evra will at least be kept on to compete with whoever comes in at left back next season, whether it's Leighton Baines or whether they bother, because Fabio's coming back from loan and we've got Alex Boutner. Neither are there yet, but do they keep them there just in case? You never know.
Nice decisions to have to make. Well, back onto the Premiership, actually.
Well, yeah.
So obviously we now have champions of this for this season, but it's still very, very interesting, very open.
Yeah.
To see who's going to qualify for the Champions League. Like Tottenham, for me, got a result I never saw coming. I mean, that was 7 minutes.
I don't think anyone saw that coming for 70 minutes of that game, and then all of a sudden,
what happened to City?
I think that's endemic of the team that's at the end of the season. They've lost their title. They probably will still win the FA Cup, but they've struggled in Europe. They haven't moved on. They're basically back to where they were 2 years ago when they finished third, albeit they'll finish a place with that, and won the FA Cup. But
they invested in their squad.
Yeah.
The problem is that they never improved their first 11. It's all right investing in your squad and in making your playing squad stronger,
yeah,
but if you're not making your starting 11 stronger, then you're not going to improve yourself.
The problem
as a team.
Is a lot of where they strengthen, bringing in the likes of Scott Sinclair and Maicon, they're never going to be starters for Man City. Maicon's old, or getting old. Scott Sinclair is good. He's a Premier League quality player, but he's not that good.
Jack Rodwell, he's made a glass,
Jack
hasn't
Rodwell,
he?
Jack Rodwell, unfortunately, yeah. And it is a shame for him.
Nastasic's been quite a good player for him.
Nastasic's been very good, and I think it's a farce that he isn't nominated for PFA Young Player of the Year.
So, who's in the shortlist for that?
The shortlist for Young
Benteke.
Player, Benteke, Welbeck,
Lukaku,
Hazard, Bale, and Wilshere.
Well, I mean, there's only one player really out of those players you mentioned who should be winning it. If Gareth Bale's in that hat, then he wins it hands down,
yeah,
for me. Because, you know, had Van Persie been slightly more inconsistent, Bale would be winning.
It's arguably between the two of those and Suarez. Although I think
you have to give it to Van Persie just for, you know, he scored a hat trick to win the title.
He's galvanised United. But the other players nominated for PFA Player of the Year, Michael Carrick, who is one of those. I think
it's a bit of a Ryan Giggs though.
It's a player. I mean, obviously it's the players' Player of the Year, but he's a players' player.
He's been fantastic for him. He's played nearly every Premiership game for him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
As Van Persie has. But, you know, he's not been the difference between them winning the league and losing the league to City.
I mean, the controversial one, some would say, is Hazard.
Hazard. Well, I think Mata deserves a better...
Mata is the other one who's nominated,
right,
and definitely deserves to be there. But Hazard played very well at the top season and has been fairly consistent. He makes a lot of assists. I think he's been very quiet. Last summer he made a bit of noise with the way he announced his transfer and the way he acted at times. But he's very quietly gone about his job very well. I personally would like to see Michu in there.
Yeah, I was surprised Michu never made it through to the final shortlist. I mean, but his season's filtered out just after the League Cup win. He's been fantastic. I think the jury's still out on whether or not he's going to do it next season. It'd be interesting to see.
But I do think it's hard to look beyond Van Persie for that again.
Personally, I can't look beyond him. I think he's been fantastic.
Yeah, the difference he has made going in there. But, you know, but no, it's also interesting at the bottom of the Premier League.
It's still very interesting.
Villa lost the other night. Wigan lost at the weekend.
Look at Sunderland. I mean, you can't knock De Canio. I mean,
yeah.
take politics out.
Well,
he has galvanised that football club. Unbelievable.
I wonder
he's
whether
out three fantastic.
But my concern would be whether or not he would be very similar to Roy Keane when he went to Sunderland, and you know, he got them promoted, but he...
Who did Keane join Sunderland from? Was it Ipswich?
No, he went to Sunderland. That was his first management job. It was when Niall Quinn lost the first five games as manager slash chairman. And then Roy Keane took over and won the championship.
Yeah.
But then the next season he did okay, but not great. And he started alienating players and falling out. And I just think Di Canio has the element of being a time bomb. It'll be great for a season. But then
I can't wait to see what he's going to produce next year. I think it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be difficult. But them and Stoke won at the weekend. It's QPR. QPR and Reading effectively are now down.
Every time you think that you know who's going to go down, suddenly results just completely change it again.
It looks like it's back to Wigan and Villa at the moment.
Villa look like they could realistically slip into it.
Yeah, well, Villa and Wigan, I think Villa need two wins. Wigan need three wins.
Hang on a minute. Villa lost. Where's Jerome?
Oh, well, there you go. No, Jerome is off today. I think he's
nursing his wounds.
I think
from
he's on sick
Villa
leave.
Win,
yeah.
lose at the weekend. Yeah.
It's difficult, but he's also very close to the bottom of the championship.
Very close at the bottom.
Blackburn beat Millwall last night, which I think has effectively got Blackburn safe.
Have you seen Millwall really made life very difficult for themselves down at the bottom because they've lost to Huddersfield and they've lost to Blackburn, two games on the bounce.
They're dropping like a stone.
So they've lost to two teams around them and it doesn't seem like they're going to get any points.
The thing for them is they have three games left where everyone else has two, and their game in hand against Palace, who have been played equally poorly.
Palace have had a terrible run.
Yeah, Bristol City down. You've then got Barnsley, Wolves, Peterborough, Huddersfield.
Since Sean Miller stopped doing the podcast, Crystal Palace have been terrible.
Palace look. I mean, they need a few results.
They were flying when he was still working with us.
Well, they've still got Bolton, Leicester, Forest, and mathematically Charlton fighting away at that playoff spot. Charlton pretty much can't get there.
I could
see Bolton sneaking in there, and I could see Bolton going up because they've been brilliant second half of the season.
Actually, on Bolton, have you seen that it looks like they're going to fund Kevin Davis' move over to
Toronto, Ryan Nelson's club. Which is a lovely gesture. He's been a great servant.
He's done 10 years,
club.
Isn't he? So
bearing
we're
in mind,
pay his wages on the remainder of his contract.
Bear in mind, he's always been quite an unfashionable footballer. I remember him breaking through at Chesterfield in the late 90s when they played Borough in the FA Cup semi-final and wrongly lost in it. No, they drew in extra time, but they should have won that game. They had a goal that went over the line. They had a goal that went over the line disallowed, and then they lost the replay. But that was Kevin Davies emerged as this almost nippy striker playing for that team, which is hilarious thinking of him now. And then he had a few years in the wilderness at Southampton and Blackburn, but at Bolton he's really found his home. The fact he's played for England while he's been at Bolton speaks volumes.
He got his cap, didn't he?
He did, age 33, and he's the oldest debutant.
Was it Capello that gave it to him?
It was, yeah, the oldest debutant in some like 80
fucking
years.
Fucking Fabio Capello.
Well, I think he did an alright job for England, apart from that World Cup. We never played badly under him, outside of major tournaments, and unfortunately, he only took us to one of them. Fair play to Kevin Davis.
Fair enough. Well, look, we've had Naughty Boys of the Week. I think that's Stockport fans, without a doubt.
And Luis Suarez, arguably. And Patrice Evra for biting a prosthetic arm.
Suarez can be Vampire of the Week. Who was your stand-down performance from since our last show?
Stand-down performance? Well, it's hard to look beyond Barcelona, but seeing as we've already spoken about them, and we've already spoken about Man City, it's difficult to really find one, to be honest, because I haven't really watched that closely. Go on, Andy.
Well,
who've you got?
I'll take City. 1-0 up against Spurs and losing 3-1. That's my stand down.
Football podcast, always imaginative. We're always going beyond. We've said City and Barcelona. You know, but fuck it, there's only two of us here. So
there is only two.
If you want another stand down performance, you can phone Dan Silva on 020. I'm only joking. One thing that was raised to us by a listener, moving on, Ashley Bunting, who presumably only turns up when there's some sort of royal event or a village fete.
Yeah.
Bit random, he says, but he's having a chat with a mate from work and he reckons Southampton must have one of the best all-time penalty records. in the top flight or even throughout the Football League, because Ricky Lambert hasn't missed a penalty this season. James Beattie was a great penalty taker. I don't remember him missing one.
Letizia.
Peter Crouch got a few. And yeah, obviously, Matt Letizia missed one penalty throughout his whole career. Mark Crossley saved it against Forest. A couple of the players, Peach and Mick Channon, both great penalty takers. I can't think of another club, actually, that have such a good penalty record.
I'll tell you another interesting penalty record. Who's the one team in the Premiership who hasn't had a penalty, who hasn't conceded a penalty this year?
Hasn't conceded? Is it Man City?
No, I think it's a team much closer to your heart.
Is it United? Have we not conceded a
penalty? I don't think. Someone told me this the other day. Now, don't quote
me on this. Webb's earning his money, isn't he?
Yeah. apparently, United haven't conceded a penalty all season. I'm not sure if that's true. In the league? No, I think they've conceded in the cup.
In the league...
I don't think
no, I can't.
That's a pretty good penalty record.
I can't think of an occasion when we have, to be honest.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go. If anyone can think of someone else with a great penalty record, or equally with a record that maybe isn't so deserved, like not conceding a penalty through foul means or fair, obviously it's fair for United, let us know. I'm going to look at it. One last thing to talk about.
How the Heart doing? Have we got an update on the Heart?
End of the season at the Heart, but it was the A-League Grand Final at the weekend. First place, Western Sydney Wanderers versus second place, Central Coast Mariners. Central Coast won 2-0.
Did they?
Western Sydney in their first ever season in the A-League. Complete turn up for the box. I can only imagine that. I know we have a few WSW fans listening. They must be gutted.
Well, it's commiserations.
But that's one of the things. Obviously, Super League, Rugby League in the UK is played very much the same, with a 16 playoff at the end of the season and the grand final winner, which takes great prestige over winning the league. What would you think about that coming into the Premier League? Say the top six at
Absolutely
the moment.
Not.
Man United, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, Everton.
No.
No.
I can't have it, can you?
I agree. I think it's a farce.
No, you know what? To some extent, it's as much of a farce having the Champions League won by a team that finished fourth in their own domestic league the season before.
I do think for a league on a level of Australia, with no disrespect, but they only have 12 teams, that sort of thing maybe does add to the season.
It makes it slightly more exciting, doesn't it?
But for
a league like the Premiership that's got strong history and tradition, I don't think you need to mess around with it too much.
Exactly, yeah. No, I agree. But I think for two men, we've done quite well this week, haven't we?
It's not been too bad, has it?
Hopefully next week we will be back, and hopefully we'll have even more.
Hopefully we'll be celebrating Brentford automatic promotion.
Well, will you celebrate in the same way that Jim Staples celebrated? I spoke to him earlier today. He says he doesn't remember beyond 12 o'clock on Saturday when Gillingham won the title, because the pub's open at 8.
Bloody
and
hell.
There are photos of him on the pitch, but he doesn't remember it. So I hope you celebrate like that, and we do hope Brentford goes up without
Gillingham are champions as well, aren't they? That's what
they are, champions. No disrespect to Doncaster, and good luck to him, but obviously we've got to back our own on the podcast.
We have indeed.
That sums it up for the week. Thank you for listening and persevering. Hopefully next week we will be back with more people. Usual as always,
keep your comments coming in.
Keep your comments coming in. Any iTunes reviews we will endeavour to read out. Any comments we'll endeavour to discuss. Like I said last week, at the end of the season we are going to have a listeners' questions show. So any questions you have, start sending them in now, and we will promise that we will discuss them.
Actually, we'll promise to be honest with our answers as well. So if you want to know Michael Coxon's sexual preferences, James Staples'
It's what? Goats, by the way, but if you want to know anything about football, our opinion on anyone in football, if you have an individual question for an individual podcaster, as long as they bother to turn up, we'll ask it to them. But you know the usual score. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Complaints this week could go to @SimonHead, @TheBoySilver, @JeromeMundell, @JimStaples. @MillerDonna10, we've not spoken about Sean for a while, so send them to him. I'd say @Canaldo, but he doesn't have a bloody Twitter profile. Well, Kravatnik's in London, but he couldn't make it. It's a massive shame, but he has got a few stories. He actually sent me a great picture of him, his missus, and El Hadji Diouf. Which I think that
really.
we're only talking about it late.
Great way to sum the show up, isn't it?
And Elijah Duke's wearing some fantastic knitwear. I think maybe that should be the show photo this week.
Fantastic.
Visit us, footballpodcast.co.uk. We did have a few technical problems last week because of WordPress, who host us, but they are solved now. And of course, follow us on Twitter, @footballpodcast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.